Well, it's good to be with you at last. At long last. I don't know about you, but it's been a long, if not sometimes excruciating, a couple of months anticipating this moment right here. So if you don't mind, you can join me if you like. I'm just gonna breathe it all in for a moment. It's good to be with you. It's good to see some familiar faces, both some of you whom I've gotten to know over the last couple of months, and some people like Jason Moore, who's here this morning, who I first met when I was going into fifth grade. Do I have this right, Jason? Up at Camp Casadero. Somebody that I have known for, gosh, that would be, I hesitate to say, 30-something years. So it's good to see you, Jason, and good to see other familiar faces here as well. It's wonderful to be able to be in a place that feels both new and also something like home all at once. But it is indeed new. I am new to you. You are new to me, and when things are new, we are hopefully open to newness. But being open to newness is another way of saying that we are uncertain. Because if you are truly open to something, you don't really know what it's all going to mean, how it is all going to play out. And so I hope that we are open to one another, but I also hope we are honest about the fact that we are uncertain. Who is this new pastor speaking to me? Did he not come from Colorado Springs? Is that not a very, very conservative place? Oh, but he grew up in Santa Cruz. Maybe he's a communist. I'm not going to tell you which one of those. I hope that I, as well as you, are beyond any of the simple labels we might want to put on each other. But that means that we're open. It also means that we are uncertain, being in a new place, not knowing what's going to happen. I'm uncertain. Who are these people looking at me, creating this space for this sermon, who've said not only you may preach today, but you also may preach most Sundays from here on out? Do they really know what they're getting themselves into? Why are they so obsessed with apple pie? Do they really expect me to grill hot dogs for them? Uncertain. I'm uncertain. Why do they call it summer, but it's so cold? If we're honest, a lot of our spiritual life is filled with uncertainty. There are days when God feels as close as the next breath. We're filled with confidence, a sense of God's presence and purpose in our lives, and there's a sense of direction. There is energy. There's moving forward. We are confident. And there are other days when we're not so sure, when our belief in God might feel like a distant memory, when our confident resting in God's presence feels like something maybe we told ourselves before because we can't feel it right now. A time of uncertainty in our spiritual lives. There are seasons of uncertainty along with seasons of confidence and certainty. And so here we are together. You have just bid farewell to a pastor of 38 years. That is no small accomplishment on his part and on your part as a congregation. I have just left a congregation that I served for 17 years. It was a brutal goodbye in the sense of the grief and the heartache. It was also beautiful because it was filled with love and appreciation, but hard. And so now we together step into this place of uncertainty, of wondering, of hoping, of wishing, but not of knowing for sure. And so we're together in that. The early church, you'll remember, was in that place of uncertainty. Jesus' death and resurrection were still fresh in their consciences. The stories were still vibrant and lively. The gospels were still being created and written and composed and shared. But that early church, they were not so sure. They were now stepping out into new territory. They were now stepping out into a Greek world that did not quite understand who they were or what they were all about or why they were so obsessed with this man from Galilee. We're not so sure what he had meant to them. They were worried. And so Jesus said, "Do not worry." They were afraid, and so Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." When we read the gospel text, like the one that we heard today, we can read it on at least two levels. One, we should be reading it as words that Jesus shared with his disciples. But we also need to hear it through the lens of the particular gospel writer. So in this case, Luke. Luke is sharing the words and the stories of Jesus as had been passed down to him, now to his own community. So not only the disciples themselves were worrying and afraid, but the early church community, Luke's community, were worried and afraid. And so Luke put into his gospel exactly these words at exactly this place to convey to that community, "Do not worry and do not be afraid." They were uncertain. They were in transition. They were wondering how this was all going to play out. And Jesus, sensing their uncertainty, what does he do? Does he say, "Oh, it's going to be fine. Oh, don't worry about it"? He does say, "Don't worry." But having said, "Don't worry," he then introduces to them a bunch of contradictions. Did you hear them in the reading? Maybe you didn't, so let me point out a few of them. On the one hand, he says, "Do not be afraid." And then he says, "Be diligently prepared." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to be diligently prepared, I'm worrying, and I'm a little fearful about how things are going to play out. So do you see how he's giving mixed messages? Now, I don't think this is Jesus just being not a very good communicator. I think he is after something. I think he is trying to flip the understanding of the church, of who they are, what their purpose in the world is, and what God's role in their life as a community is. Here's another contradiction for you. He says, "Sell your possessions, give alms." Wouldn't that work only once? Sell your possessions and give alms. I mean, and alms are a proportion of your wealth. But if you sell your possessions, liquidate all of your assets all at once and give them as alms, you can't do that again. Is he being an unclear communicator, or is he after something? Is he introducing a new ethic, a new way of being the church and being in the world? Then he tells this short parable about slaves, household servants, who are watching after the house while the master is off partying. So the master is off partying, and what might be the norm is that the servants would kind of clean everything up, leave the porch light on, and then go to sleep. But Jesus says, what if the servants were to wait up for the master? So that when he returns from his party, staggering in after midnight, he finds not just the porch light, but the servants of the household there ready to receive him. It would be a joyous occasion, would it not? And then Jesus flips it. He says, and then the master would enter into the house and would tighten his belt. Tighten belt. Get ready to serve. Not loosen the belt and sit in your lazy boy and let somebody else serve you, but tighten his belt. And the master would serve the slaves. What is Jesus after in these flips of conventions? And why is he using these flips of convention to speak to their uncertainty? I want to concentrate on one other contradiction that Jesus introduces. You see, he's just talked about this kind of master and servant parable. But now he says that the Son of Man is coming. The kingdom is breaking into the world even now. And so you better lock up your house because the kingdom is coming like a thief in the night. Huh? Is the kingdom something that we're preparing for diligently, or is it something that we're trying to keep out? And Jesus introduced both of these aspects, both of these dynamics, but I think there's something missing from the text, or something rather that we could insert, and I think it's a wink. You know one of these? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is coming, the Son of Man is coming, and so you better lock up your house because you don't know what hour the thief might try to break in. Wink. It reminds me of some words that Nadia Boltz-Weber, who is a pastor in Denver, who spoke at my church recently, said. She said, people ask her, Pastor Nadia, like, what spiritual practices do you do to get closer to God? And she said, closer to God? Ugh, I would do anything to get God out of my grill. God is always up in my stuff. Do we want the kingdom to come? Do we want the coming of the Son of Man? Do we want the breakthrough of the kingdom? Or do we not? In our place of uncertainty, do we really want that kind of arrival? Do we really want to be open to that kind of newness? Do we really wonder where all of this could take us? Or would we rather stay with the familiar, holding uncertainty at bay, opting for sameness, rather than venturing into the new adventure, which is the kingdom of God? And so Jesus sneaks in this little wink, as if to say, be careful. Because if you're not careful, if you don't lock it down, the thief, the kingdom of God, the presence of the living Jesus just might break in. So maybe we should think about how, in that sense, we are going to let our house, this house, get broken into. Amen.